This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl.
There's a new law on the books in Massachusetts this week that makes it illegal to ask job applicants how much they were paid in their old jobs. It's a new approach to a long and lingering problem in this country, the wage gap between men and women that averages about 79 cents to the dollar. Sarah Cliff is the deputy managing editor for visuals at Vox. She's got a new post looking for some clarity on the wage gap, which comes with A, hand-drawn stick figures, and also B, a study of MBA graduates from the business school at the University of Chicago. Sarah, it's good to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
We should say, first of all, that this study is a little unusual, right? The Booth School at the University of Chicago sort of studied its own grads.
Yeah, it was a unique opportunity that one of their researchers had. Actually, you know, if you want access to this data set, you need to be a member of faculty. So she was able to look at, they've had about 10,000 graduates over the course of a decade. She studied about 2,500 of them and saw some very interesting results.
Not the least of which is, and I guess we all should have known this, but somehow didn't, the wage gap is not a unitary thing. It is not a 79 cents differential and that's it, right?
Yeah, and I think it's easy. We just hear that number so much. Like, we hear about women earning 79 cents on the dollar. And when you dive into it, you learn it's so much more complex. And it actually helps you understand why the wage gap exists, you know, by looking at the complexities, looking at where it's bigger, how it gets bigger over time. Really helps you understand, like, what drives the wage gap to begin with.
Give me the lawyer versus scientist through line that is in your Vox piece.
Yeah. So this is, I will give credit to Claudia Golden, who's a great economist at Harvard, who I talked to for this piece, who, you know, helped me think this through, that one of the things that drives the wage gap is making certain hours more valuable than others. These professions where you really need people to be around at very specific times or for very long stretches of times, those are the ones, you know, the lawyer ones where you see a very large wage gap.
What she says is that, yeah, to figure out the whys of the wage gap, you have to look at where the wage gap happens, right?
Exactly. So you look at, you know, all these different professions and you see a really huge variation in wage gaps. In some medical professions, you see men just vastly out-earning women. And then you look at pharmacy and you see that men and women nearly earn the same. And it raises a question of, well, this doesn't seem to be something intrinsic to women. It suggests that the main story here isn't that women aren't as good at negotiating salaries, that they don't ask for raises often enough, or that it's, you know, just straight out discrimination against women. It suggested something much more subtle about the structure of work and the structure of these jobs.
All of that said, there is a common denominator here, I guess, in a lot of these wage gap issues. And it comes in, and I'll point out here that you drew this piece in Vox, too. You did the cartoon.
I did.
And it's good cartooning. It's great. But,
thank you. It's my first stick figures.
Well, more power to you. one of the stick figures that repeats itself in this drawing is a little baby going, "Hi, I'm here." I mean, kids and what they do to people in their professional lives has real impact.
It really does. And you see in households where two parents work and they're both earning, that women are still disproportionately responsible for the childbearing, for the housework. There's definitely some sharing aspects, but it's much more likely that a woman would say, "I'm responsible for the majority of childcare," than her male partner would.
There are, I guess, policy solutions. But as Claudia Golden points out, you know, even the best intentioned solutions backfire. You get some unintended consequences and things don't work out the way you want.
Yeah, so and a good one to think of here is kind of paid family leave, which I think is thought of as, you know, one solution to make it easier for women to take breaks from work and men too. You actually see that hurting women's wages because those breaks in the occupations that have large wage gaps will ultimately lead to lower earnings. You know, I think there definitely are policies that can help. One that comes to mind is paid childcare. And I think it's actually just an interesting question of how you solve economic problems. Do you actually go at what seems to be the root of the problem, which is the structure of our jobs, and focus on making jobs more flexible? Or do you look at the side effects of those jobs and do you kind of support people so they can fit into these jobs that don't work as well with our modern two-earner families? And I don't think there's one right solution.
Sarah Cliff is the deputy managing editor for visuals at Vox. Great piece up now on that site about the pay gap. She drew it. She wrote it. She did the whole thing. Sarah, thanks a lot.
Thank you.